You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using the code THPN during sign-up. Fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, and assist means so much more with a DraftKings daily fantasy lineup. Baseball fans, you may have missed out on season-long fantasy, so now is the time to get in on daily fantasy action where DraftKings has even more ways to make it rain. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players, so what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use the code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN, and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Shoot, score! Hochberger!
Welcome, everyone, to episode 25. We are a quarter of way to 100 episodes, Kyle, of the Rig Rats podcast, the Edmonton Oilers podcast, here on the Hockey Podcast Network. Returning guest, Kyle, welcome, buddy. We've got a lot of games to talk about. How are we feeling today?
I'm feeling swell. Dandy.
You got a couple games yourself coming up today. How are you feeling about those?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting, that's for sure. I got one. That's, I think, our last regular season game before the playoffs. And then I got another that we're switching leagues to a different rink. So we're showing up and we're playing a consolation, one of their teams as a consolation game. So it's like a scrimmage to see
where we match up against the other rink. Interesting.
Yeah. So that'll be really fun too.
How do you think your team's going to match up? You played against that league before? Any idea?
Yeah, actually, that was the first league I played in on my senior year in high school. I played in that league. It'll be all right. It's a good league, but it's comparable. We should do fine.
Awesome. All righty. Well, like I mentioned, we've got a couple of Oilers games to talk about here. We had given our predictions in the last episode on the first game we're going to talk about. And actually, at the time we recorded our last episode, we were in the middle of watching this game. The Oilers were currently, at the time we were recording that last episode, they were up 1-0 on a Draisaitl goal. Draisaitl would then end up burying another beauty and then an empty netter to collect the hat trick. McDavid would finish with a goal and 3 assists. Draisaitl would finish with 3 goals and 1 assist, just as all things should be. That tells the story of sort of the night it was. McDavid's one goal was absolutely disgusting, per usual. Yeah. Another solid night versus the Ottawa Senators. And the only really downside to come out of this for me is that near the end of the game, Nugent Hopkins took what seemed to be an innocent hit in the neutral zone at the blue line. I guess he left the game. I didn't really notice because I guess I was cruising. I was enjoying the game. I didn't notice he was out. And then I did notice, however, in the next game and the Flames game that we'll get to at the end, that he is out. And man, we surely miss him. However, an incredible performance from McDavid and Draisaitl per usual. I mean, Draisaitl's shot was just, that's all world. There's maybe 2 people in the league that can score that goal. Like, it was
nasty.
Ridiculous.
He was behind the line. The no angle shot is something that you do at every single skate and shoot, pick up, anything you can try. You do it. You sit there with 15 pucks and you're throwing them at the net, just hoping they go in. And it never does. It never goes.
And Draisaitl scored, I think, like 2 or 3 like that now.
Yeah, I think that's the reason he makes the money he makes. So
goalies got to be, you know, it's got to be keep them honest, because if they're not hugging that post, he'll just smack it. And it's actually funny. Someone posted the screenshot of the Danny Heatley one-timer where he's calling for the one-timer and he's like almost behind the net, and they're like, what is Danny Heatley doing here? They posted it right next to Draisaitl opening up from the wind timer before he hits it from below the goal line, and they're like, one of these resulted in a goal.
Yeah.
An incredible play, and then you just see, once again, versus Ottawa, they just don't have an answer for McDavid and Draisaitl, and we hit the eight that we expected. And shout out to the boys, because I, at the time, we were up 1-0 when we were recording the last episode. I decided to stick with my prediction of 4-2, and they hit it on the nose. Draisaitl looked up, and it was close, dude.
Draisaitl, it was one second.
With 1 second on the clock, he knew. He was like, I have to bury this empty netter so Michael can hit the 4-2 prediction scoreline. Should have been betting on it, and he hits it for 4-2. And it makes this game a little bit tighter here. Brings us to the good score of 25-23, only 2 points behind. You had a full 5-point lead on me. However, I've brought it just 2 now. So you sweating a little bit? You were on my tail for a little bit, so now it's my turn to give you some pressure.
Yeah, you know, it's all right. I got to keep it interesting. Got to give you some hope, you know. Make sure you don't want to end the game too early.
Crush me in the long run. So then we turn around in the second half of a back-to-back with our last game of the regular season versus Ottawa. We do win this game. We go 9-0 versus Ottawa. However, again, we're starting to see the warning signs that we were starting to see before we won the 2 games versus Ottawa that I was saying, and we ended up having that pretty bad game versus Montreal, and we talked about it being one of the Oilers' worst games of the season. Starting to see those warning signs again in this one, and definitely feeling the loss of Nugent Hopkins. I mean, could you notice? I mean, I noticed Nugent Hopkins he's sorely missed. That is like a big option and outlet that we did not have anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player, and it's one of those things that he's definitely one of the top guys on the team. So it's tough to go into a game expecting to be normal when you're missing one of those guys that, you know, you expect to produce every single night, and he's not there. So it's really tough for that to go. And you could kind of tell the guys were, you know, there's not really somebody that can slide into his spot that easily. So it's definitely tough on the rest of the team just as a fill spot. That's not really something you do. It's just like, you know, if McDavid or Draisaitl's down, it's hard to fill those guys' spot as well, you know. So you could definitely tell that they were he was dearly missed there.
Yeah, and so the Oilers then, we see them are getting relatively pretty badly outplayed in the first 2 periods by the Senators. They're out shooting us about halfway through before the Oilers would actually score to go up by 1, just per usual, getting outshot. So we score the first one. We're getting outshot 18-8, and then Yamamoto buries it, goes hard to the net, and he gets us up 1-0 on the power play. They would, however, tie it up without 2 minutes left in the second period. Connor Brown, who's having a sneaky heater right now, he's got goals in 8 straight at the moment, would tie the game. Devin Shore would then have a really nice tip-in in front. He scored a couple goals versus Ottawa now, and I think Devin Shore and that line has honestly been one of the better bright spots for the Oilers right now. I really like the big grind style bang in. They've gotten some tip ins that we think about the Shore goal against Montreal on the wraparound on a good cycle. So they're really playing well right now, picking up some slack. And then Puljujarvi scores the empty netter. However, warning signs again. We win 3-1 versus the Ottawa Senators. They outshoot us 40-23. Mike Smith played quite well. But we beat the Ottawa Senators 9-0. And Kyle, you were spot on the money. They were our 1. We go completely perfect versus the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, I think nothing you can really do better than that. You know, at least we went in and we were thinking, hey, there's got to be one. Does anybody else have any perfect series, right?
I don't think so, nope.
Especially not against the Senators, at least. You know, it's good to see. That's a great accomplishment there. It's something you can hang your hat on.
There was an 18 possible points up for grabs versus the Ottawa Senators, and we picked up all 18.
And there you go. And that's all you can ask for. That's pure domination. That's absolute shutdown.
I think we only went to extra time once with them. So I think they only got 1 point from that.
That's something that you show up. That's like a huge Big Brother move. Like, ha 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 ha. You only got 1 point against us. That's it.
And I mean, I know the rest of the league is going to like clown on us for that. Be like, oh, well, you know, you got.
It's the Senators.
It's the Senators, whatever. I mean, you know, it's.
The Leafs are in first and they lost, what, 4 times to the Senators?
Mm-hmm. You play who you can play, like. But does it worry you though? Because I wouldn't say this was necessarily a very good game from the Oilers, and I'd say the Oilers have had a couple games versus the Senators this season where they haven't necessarily played great, but they still end up winning. Does it worry you that maybe there is still some struggles, especially in this game, but versus the Senators overall?
I hear you. I think there's always going to be struggles, whether, you know, it doesn't matter who you're playing or, you know, who's playing on your lineup this night. It doesn't really matter. It's, you know, every team's going to have their own struggles. There's no getting around it. Kind of one of those things that's tough to fix, but I think it's hard to spot what needs to be fixed when you're still winning. I mean, there's a lot. It's obviously the win is definitely an oversight. You're looking at the win and you're like, okay, well, we've won, but there's still things that can be fixed. Sure. And I mean, obviously you can see that in the next game versus Calgary, but I think it's interesting because you go, you know, 8-0 against one team. And then there's some nights you show up, like in this Calgary game that we're going to talk about, you lose 5-0. You just beat a team every time you played them, but then the next game you lose 5-0. So, I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, it's a hit or miss. There's always a balance. Even the best teams in the world have struggles.
Yeah. So then we'll segue into the Calgary game then. We each pick up just a point for each prediction of the win, bringing us to 26-24 on the score. And then we roll into the Calgary game. I did not know the circumstances for the Calgary game until I started watching it and then they started talking about it on the broadcast. However, turns out that the morning of the Calgary game, the Edmonton Oilers attended, I guess some of them virtually attended because they were in Calgary, but the funeral of Colby Cave, who was a former Edmonton Oiler. He was a teammate of them. He was on their team 2 years ago and he died suddenly. Really sad, obviously, and his funeral. And so then they were asked to go play a hockey game. And I think they gave a pretty valiant effort. They've played a little pretty decent amount of hockey, a couple back-to-backs, 3 games in 4 nights. They put a decent effort in the first, second period. You see the Flames were rested. They came in, they blew the doors off us. A couple power plays, they score a couple, and they've scored 4 goals in the second period. They score a sort of a weird, fluky one in the third, but we're just playing in dead time. The Oilers get outshot in this one, 32-17. I thought Ethan Bear especially really struggled. A lot of the moments that the Flames capitalized on or had a lot of their good looks were him. A lot of turnovers or just bad decision-making up the side. And I wonder if he was one of the people that was closer to Colby Cave, because Colby Cave was a fringe player. He was up and down between Bakersfield and Edmonton. And I'm pretty sure that's around the same time that Ethan Bear was also starting to move his way up from Bakersfield to Edmonton as well. So I wonder if maybe he was taking it harder than others. It was just a bad game. You know, who's to say? I'm not often to give like full pardons for games, but as someone who's been to funerals in his life, right? And also, right, this is someone they've played hockey with. This is their friend. It's hard. McDavid, after the game, I've got some quotes here. He says, "I don't know what the league is thinking there. I don't want to make any excuses, but obviously a hard day. It's a hard day for the Cave family." I watched the post games. Darnell Nurse and McDavid just sounded like they wanted to cry in the post game. So I think we can chalk this game up. You can ball this one up, you throw it away, you forget about it. And there's no learning experience here other than the way you felt and just moving on from it. It's a tough game to play. So, I mean, what did you think? Because I originally was sitting here and I started to see the notifications come in as they were going down real time versus the Flames. I was like, oh, here we go. And then to find out that this is the way it is, I'm willing to give them a pass for this game.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to a few funerals myself. You know, I definitely understand. It's tough, especially if it's, you know, someone that you're close to, someone that you in a league as good as the NHL. It's not just hockey at that point. That's a livelihood. You know, all the guys in the locker room. That's a brotherhood. You know, I mean, there's really not a lot of disconnect. You're with each other all the time. If you're not on the road, you're at practices together. You're at each other's houses for dinner. You're having lunch. You're doing all your extracurricular activities are is with your team. So I mean, it's real tough to try to go through something like that.
I'd say from a teammate perspective, even if you've only played one game with the guy or played a full season with the guy, right? Like you always have a connection with that. Like I always think back to that. So people that have played multiple games with him, like that's your family, like you were saying. So,
yeah.
Not to cut you off. So continue.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, people who don't play sports don't understand it the same. I mean, it's a tough thing. I mean, it's a bond that it's not made easily. And it's when that bond is broken, whether it's, you know, a death or, you know, some other, you know, just a separation or what have you, it's tough. It's really tough on guys. And so for all of them to have to go through that and then go play a hockey game, it's kind of like, well, I'm here playing hockey, but I'd much rather be, you know, hanging out with the rest of my boys, you know, just kind of chilling for the day. You know, it just kind of drains you. So, you know, I can understand having a real tough game. It makes sense. And obviously nobody wants to make excuses, but if you're going to make one, that's definitely something that is acceptable.
Best excuses you can give, you know?
Yeah. And so, I mean, yeah, Ethan Bear had a rough game, but I mean, it makes sense. No one really played well, though.
To be fair, yeah. I just happened to notice him the most because they were scoring a lot from that side.
And I think your thought makes sense. You know, there's a strong possibility that those guys were, you know, pretty close, and it makes sense to me. And then I thought, you know, Smitty didn't play his best game of the season. There was definitely a couple that were, you know, not his fault, but I think the last couple of goals that went in were kind of a little soft. And I think at that point, they were already losing, you know, 2-0, 3-0 kind of deal. And it was just, I think he was just kind of like, yeah. I think everybody on the ice was just kind of
even Tippett in the post game was willing to admit that his team lost their legs pretty much as soon as the second period started.
So
they lose 5-0, pretty weird circumstances. But the Oilers now, because of some of the shenanigans with the Vancouver COVID protocol, however, it is news that they are going to be able to come back. So that's exciting. But the Oilers have a full 5 days break here. No upcoming games to talk about, which is going to be awesome. I think especially after this weird, you know, game and the funeral and all that, like a big break. And then I think even Tippett said that these next 2 days, today that we're recording this and Monday when this episode comes out, are just going to be days off. And then they'll get back to practice on Tuesday or Wednesday. Like that'll help them refocus, clear their heads a little bit, maybe get out of the fog of the funeral, because there's definitely a little bit of a fog that follows you afterwards. So being able to get out of that and then into games versus Vancouver. But we'll talk about those ones later in the week in the next episode. So we are going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to run through a list of some NHL trades as the trade deadline approaches, and we'll get to our play of the week, and then we'll wrap this baby up. So we'll be right back.
What's up, everybody? This is Taylor and Brendan from Straight Up Sabres of the Hockey Podcast Network. Things are not going very well in Saberland this season, or really for the past 10 years or so. However, we here at Straight Up Sabres are so excited to keep bringing you guys the latest Sabres news, with everything ranging from interviews with some of your favorite Twitter follows all the way up to former players and everything in between. We have got you covered with your weekly coverage of the Buffalo Sabres.
That's right. We got a lot coming up through the rest of the season and into the offseason. Who's going to coach the team next year? Is Kevin Adams going to have a new boss? Will he be a president of hockey operations? Will there be an assistant GM? Are they going to fill out their scouting staff? How many times will I cry next season? Maybe zero. I'm dead inside. Will Jack Eichel be here? Sam Reinhart going to get extended? You know, all this and more on Straight Up Sabres.
Exciting stuff. So make sure you're checking us out wherever you're listening to podcasts and following us on social media, on Facebook and Instagram at Straight Up Sabres, and on Twitter at Straight Sabres.
All righty, and we are back. So Kyle, trade deadline is approaching, like I was saying before we went to our break. And there are some teams that are starting to take advantage. We're not seeing a lot of movement in the North Division, mostly from outside of it. I think the fact that the United States has a little bit easier travel restrictions helps a lot. But there were a bunch. I only wrote down some of the bigger named ones, so I'm going to run through them real quick. Your hometown team made a move. We see the defending Stanley Cup champions acquire David Savard in a three-way trade from the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Detroit Red Wings. I'm a little shaky on the details here because looking at it, and I believe there's maybe some like original ownership of the picks, which was what makes it a three-way trade. The Lightning give up a first round pick, some prospects, a fourth and a third to Columbus gets the first, and then Detroit gets the fourth, and Columbus also gets the third. Tampa Bay's defense now just looks ridiculous, Kyle.
I mean, bulletproof. And then
Vasilevsky.
The back end is just...
They're gearing up to defend, right?
Scoring is going to be hard. I mean...
They're gearing up to defend the title, right? They're fully ready to do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as much as it was already just an absolute nightmare trying to penetrate that defense, even when you get through the defense, you have to answer to Andre Vasilevsky, arguably the best goaltender in the world at the current time. I mean, that's nuts. You had a pure defensive defenseman, big body, likes to throw it around, you know, lays a lot of hits
and has some skill as you guys saw in the in the Columbus series where you guys swept. He had a pretty nasty goal.
I mean, the guy's a great player. He doesn't have a ton of goals this year. I think he's got six, but as a pure defensive defenseman, I mean, he really is branded as just a defensive defenseman. There's not much that you can really expect out of him for an offensive front, but for a guy that lays the body that much, he only has 24 penalty minutes. I mean, that's a clean game for a guy that just hits and hits and hits.
So who does he play with? That's my question.
Honestly, that's a real toss-up. Is
you playing with Hedman, McDonough, Sergachev?
No, see, so right now, currently, I think Jan Ruda is out on injury, and he usually plays with Hedman. And then I think that the next pair is usually Sergachev and I think Chernak's playing with Hedman right now. And then you have McDonough and Sergachev. And that third line is always usually weird. Like got Luke Shen and just a couple other guys that, you know, go in and out there. So, I mean, you can put him anywhere. I understand putting him with Hedman. However, I think that's not really giving enough spread to the talent, but I think you play him probably with more of like a Sergachev. So you have a pure offensive guy and a pure defensive guy together. And I think that's where you fit him in there.
Oh, you got to be careful, Kyle. Your lightning colors are showing.
Sorry, I don't like them. I promise.
No problem. And I always get a little hanky when we see the Lightning and the Detroit Red Wings hooking up. So I see them pop up in this three-way trade, and I can't help but think Yzerman's just being a little too friendly with his former team, but it's whatever. Moving on, though, we've got a trade here between the Colorado Avalanche and the San Jose Sharks. Colorado acquires Devin Dubnyk in exchange for Patrick Nemeth and a fourth round pick that goes to San Jose. This makes, I guess, a little bit of sense for Colorado considering Grubauer. It gets hurt, is pretty on and off injury. When Grubauer's there, he's obviously their number one, but past that, they don't really have a plan for him. So just shoring it up with a veteran goalie in Dubnyk. I don't really understand what San Jose is doing here because Dubnyk was playing better than Martin Jones, and Martin Jones is terrible. So I don't know if they're just like they're trying to be bad again. Like, I don't really get it.
I don't know. San Jose loves being bad. There's nothing you can do about that. I don't really get it either. And honestly, some of the moves that these GMs make, I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you get paid to do this, man? So I really don't get it, but hey, it is what it is, I guess.
Then we do see some action in the North. Toronto making some more moves. They acquire Riley Nash from the Columbus Blue Jackets for basically a bag of pucks or a free beer at the concession stand, a conditional seventh round pick. I don't know what the conditions are. However, I bet you it probably doesn't get it to be higher than like a fourth at that. So pretty low cost move for Toronto. And we see them just continually adding more depth, and I just see Toronto making moves, and I'm just sitting here poking Edmonton like, do something, come on guys. Dude, it's making me nervous.
Do something. Well, first of all, if it's an NHL concession stand beer, that's a $17 beer. All right, so
that is fair.
That's an expensive beer. I mean, I don't know how they're doing it, honestly. I mean, they're kind of wheeling and dealing. I mean, they're gearing up just like yeah, you know, that's kind of what happens at the deadline is, you know, guys are looking to gear up to make these plays to try to fortify themselves for, you know, a cup run. That's what everybody's doing. Poke the Edmonton Oilers, do something, you know, see if they make some moves. But I don't know. Trade deadline's always been, it's an interesting time. It's either absolute chaos or nothing happens.
Like, and I think especially definitely during this year with the pandemic and the way that the cap is and all that stuff, it's definitely going to make things funky. I think what you see here, like you're saying, though, all of these moves are made primarily for the better team to gear up for the playoffs. We see Savard going to the Lightning gearing up, making their defense even better to go and trying to defend for the cup. Goes to Colorado, you know, just in case something happens with their goaltending, because Colorado has a pretty solid team past that. Riley Nash goes to Toronto because Toronto feels like they can't have enough forward depth, and I can't say I blame them, and they are wanting to make a run. And then this last move that we're going to talk about here, we've got Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac, two New Jersey Devil staples. Household name in the Bay Area. I don't know, the Jersey area.
In the state of New Jersey.
They are traded to the New York Islanders for two prospects, a first round pick and a fourth round pick. And immediately we see them shaven because Lou Lamoriello hates facial hair.
Weirdo.
And it was weird.
It's weird looking at Kyle Palmieri without a beard.
Everyone was poking fun at him. Even his wife on Twitter retweeted the NHL picture of him and said, "Who is this man?" They were giving it to him. And we see the Islanders with the fact that Brock Nelson is out for the rest of the season. They bring in another really solid defensive, has offensive to him. Like, Zajac and Palmieri will fit very nicely into the Islanders system and style of play, I think.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I think it's just, again, you know, gearing up, trying to make something happen here. So
it's going to be exciting. The playoffs are exciting.
I think it'll be a very interesting playoffs here. You know, there's just not a lot of, we're kind of entering uncharted territory in the means of, you know, this is weird. It's different from the last few seasons. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
So we see all these trades coming through. We're hoping Edmonton makes a move here coming up. I think while they have a little bit of rest and the fact they only need to wait 7 days now instead of 14, this would be really the moment to do it. So fingers crossed. I think there are some sensible moves that would be made out there. I think also keep an eye on Taylor Hall, not necessarily for the Oilers, you know, but a boy can dream. But we are going to move on to our last thing for the episode. We have our play of the week, Kyle.
Play of the week.
Yeah, I will let you kick us off, my friend. What impressed you the most? Who are you giving this week's week award?
Last night, I was tuning into the Lightning game, and I'll say that my play of the week is Andrei Vasilevskiy. Last night made a double clutch save with his glove. The shot kind of came in and he kind of popped it up with the glove and then popped it out again. So like he like put his glove up and it like hit the glove and then it was about to roll over and go back into the net. And he like just kind of slapped it out of the air. It's just one of those cat like reflexes that he's very well known for.
So I'm going to go with my play of the week here. I see you gave your play of the week to the Lightning, but it's Andrei Vasilevskiy, so I'll let you have it. I'm going to give my play of the week here, and please don't hate me for it. And I hate myself for it. It's going to be Brad Marchand. He undressed the Capitals. Like, just filthy. Like, on a two-on-one, the toe drag into the tomahawk around the sliding defenseman, past Ovechkin, past the goaltender, and then just the casual backhand into the open net. It was nasty, and it's a plays like that that you hate Brad Marchand, but the fact that he can make those plays, you wish he was on your team, because that it's ridiculous talent in just the body of a rat.
He really is one of those guys that it's like, I hate you so much, I wish you were on my team. I mean, it really is like, that was a disgusting play. Just disgusting. He undressed everybody. Half the stands didn't have their underwear on. They didn't know what was happening. I mean, it was just, it's nuts. I respect that.
So Brad Marchand, if you're listening to this, don't get used to it, all right? But good play. Play of the week. Kyle, we're going to wrap things up here now. You got anything else for us before I go into my spiel?
Nope. Love you, folks.
All righty. Well, I want to wish you good luck on your hockey games then this evening.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Go kick some tail there, bud. And as always, if you guys want to follow the podcast on Twitter, that's going to be @therig_rats on Twitter. And be sure to like, subscribe, and share this podcast wherever you're listening to it right now. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud. It helps out a great deal. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Enjoy this little bit of Oilerless hockey, and then we're going to be right back into the swing of things and then to the playoffs. Hopefully the Oilers make some deadline moves. Kyle, it's been a pleasure, and as always, let's go Oilers!